I like to record because I'm...
Yeah, sure.
Oh, this is mostly new audience. We'll come closer because I lost my voice recently. I'm getting my voice back. So a lot of new people. I don't know how to memorize it, but each month of the year has its own distinct qualities. So whether that's the nature, the sense, the weather, the progression of the sun, the holidays, etc., imagine everything physical in the world, you have a lot of spiritual parallels. There's different vibes of every single month, and that's articulated by Chazal. So on every month, it has its own distinct quality in nature. Like, for example, Mishenichlus Av Mamathin Basilchus. So the Gemara in Tanis on Daf Kavtes asked for the Ryan Erchim, when we know that the second base of Mikdash was destroyed on the same day as the first base of Mikdash. And the Gemara answers, Megaglin, Schus Leim Zaka, Vechuv Leim Chuv, that bad things happen on bad days, and auspicious things happen on auspicious days. So that's the Raya. So that's also why that's the same day, that Tisha B'Av was the same day, that it was Gozer, that Bnei Yisrael couldn't go into the Midbar. And Rashi says, the Ragil and Hios Bo Reyes, that it just, this day is regulated for badness. So we know that, V'yom Tov Eyatov, on good days, appreciate the good days. V'yom Ra Reyes Elu Mazzeh. So we have our good days, we have our bad days, and you know, there is a certain vibe, there is a certain ambiance to every single day and every single month. And the Bnei Yisrael very much develops this idea of every single month, what the vibe, what the ambiance of the month is, milieu be a proper word? Milieu. Whatever.
Seamus?
That's milieu?
The milieu,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, so we'll get into different areas. Before getting into the partsufim of the month and the pasuk secreted within the partsuf of the month and stuff like that, we'll first get into the number of the month, because Iyar is the second month of the year. So Iyar is interposed between Sivan and Nisan, and Chodesh Nisan is the first month. That's when we get out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is Meitzar, lush and constriction, and one signifies oneness that excludes and rules out any multiplicity. It's free of all imitations and dualities. Iyar is the second month. It's when we free ourselves from this very monistic, narrow way of thinking. We unbound ourselves from this very parochial, narrow shackles. And there are pros and cons to such a freedom, because on the one hand, one was good, and we daven every single day. Bayomahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. And the Gemara in Pesachim asks, v'chiyein alav hu echad, isn't Hashem already one, and His name is already one and the same? So yes, but within our perception of the world, it's not so. That's why we say Baruch Dayan Amos on the bad, and Atoyv Emetiv on the good. But the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun says that really one day we'll have this full recognition that everything is Atoyv Emetiv, Shem Hashem v'Shem Elokim Achdus Echad. That it'll all be one. So one is good, but on the other hand, one could also be limiting and stifling, especially when our perception of one is doesn't align with the reality of what entails. So that's why Rukub talks about Spinoza. So he says that the issue with Spinoza was that he thought that Hashem and the world were all one, that Hashem is Rahman al-Tzam, the sum total of existence, and not greater than that. And that limits God when you think of the world in such a narrow, parochial oneness. But as Rukub notes, Spinoza was onto something. He writes this in his, they publish these letters of Rukub, so in his diary. So he says, V'kasher kol shahidea halechas mizarcheves himotzas es hametzias yose ashira, that as long as this understanding widens, as long as it's not so limited and narrow, as long as it widens and find its reality to be richer, then this hashkafa, he was onto something. Rambam ben Mor Neruchim in Perek Lamed Hey talks about the concept of Hashem, the ultimate unity. He says that Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad presupposes the notion of incorporeality, right? Because we have to have such a thing as corporeality, because corporeal, you have to have that which is corporeal in order to show that there's that which is incorporeal, right? You need to have something in order to contrast it to another thing. So you need two. So we have to have this idea that Hashem is one, but the only way that you can understand that Hashem is one is by having things that are other, by having contrasting things. So the notion that oneness is a good thing, when applied correctly, allows us to think beyond the illusion of dualities, which only exist in our perceptual reality in the Olam HaSiyah, but we don't live in that perceptually felt oneness. We live in the world of Bereshis Bara Elokim, Bereshis, right? It's the beginning, but it's beginning with a Beis, because Beis signifies this inner tension, the dialectical struggle, and the duality. Beis is the beginning of the Torah, and it's also the beginning of the Daf of Gemara, because it's the Reshis Chachma, the beginning of wisdom, is the recognition that the start of something, the Bereshis, the Beis, the Reshis of something is from Beis, because the beginning of something begins later than it originates. So it's the recognition that the first letter is the second letter, that there's something deeper that can't be fully grasped or expressed. Because we live in this post-Gan Eden world where there's Shriya Sakelim, when the vessels were shattered into a million different pieces, and the Tzelem Elokim became secreted within the multiplicity of disparate elements permeating through the tangible world, both physically and spiritually, and just perceptually, just how we relate to the world and relate to everything that goes on in the world. There was essentially an evolution of the world, but a de-evolution of perfection, and that created disquietude and disunity, which is the world of fragmentation that we live in. But that also comes with great opportunity. So there's a quote that I like by F. Scott Fitzgerald. I'm sorry that I'm quoting his secular source in the base, but it's behind the Aaron. That the first rate test of intelligence, the Reishis Chachma, is to hold two opposing ideas in your head and not go crazy. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech recommends. He says, "Benitechos mizel mizel panach zirecha." Grab onto this, but from this, do not remove your hand. So Reishis, and then he says, "Ki yira elokim yetzeis kulam." So Reishis Chachma, yiras Hashem. To have yiras Hashem is to grab onto this, but not grab onto that. The first rate test of intelligence, the Reishis Chachma, is to hold two opposing ideas in your head. Techos mizel mizel panach zirecha. And if you're elokim, then you'll be able to cultivate the ability to grasp two, and you'll be able to hold it as one. So in this month, we have the opportunity to get out of our comfort zone, stop thinking in such a limited, constricted, narrow mindset, and to appreciate the multiplicity and the duality and the vastness of everything. There's this natural tendency that we have that we want to kind of experience things in harmony, and we want to reconcile everything and synthesize everything. That's like our Yiddish Neshama that like strives for this level of Shlemus, and we desperately try to merge things together so that we can have an easier time conceptually understanding things. And that's very, you know, understandable, and you know, it's mistaber that we want to do that. It's the same way that we yearn for a Shlemus, and then we come, you know, relentlessly come to this idea that we can kind of get into a state of like cool comfort, where we're always comfortable with conceptually with things and with the way life is playing out. But really, paradoxically, instead of trying to get that place of cool comfort, we have to recognize that only through embracing difficult comfort can we paradoxically come to a place of comfort. So we have to, you know, kind of have that mindset in mind that we want to get the comfort, and you only get that through discomfort. So it's, you know, kind of wallowing in that dialectical nature of comfort. And we have to get uncomfortable. We have to get comfortable with the discomfort, to be honest that we're uncomfortable with that discomfort. We're uncomfortable with the disharmony and the disunity, and then that can allow us to come to a place of comfort. That's also why Soloveitchik says that, like, he was very comfortable studying all these secular stuff and even touching on the biblical criticism. There are a lot of Talmidei Chachamim that kind of tried to merge both, and in the process, they ended up taking away from both. They detracted both from the academic integrity, and they also detracted, Rachman Al-Tzan, the Rambam says, in the intro to Murubuchim, he says that Hishlech Pinus HaTorah, Rachman Al-Tzan, that you just end up removing facets from the Torah. You end up degrading both sides, and you know, it's even worse when it's the Torah. So you have to kind of just hold both, because all things exist as they are because of their respective measurements and the frameworks through which they work and operate and abide by. If there's no way to individuate one thing from another, then that one thing is negated by another. That's why Shlomo HaMelech says, "Porei together yashchinu banachash." That if you break a boundary, you'll get bitten by a snake, meaning it'll come back to bite you. So you kind of just have to have definitions, have individuate things, let things exist on their own as their own unique entities. So in this process, things come as they. In the process of recognizing that things are as they are without trying to reconcile them with other things for the sake of comfort, we end up asserting individuality, we end up asserting our intelligence, and we end up coming to a much greater place of quietude. We kind of restore the harmony that was ultimately broken from the Shriya Sakalim. And this is intellectually, it's also emotionally. Have you ever heard of attachment theory? You've definitely heard of it. Yeah. Maybe you've heard of it. Yeah. I don't mean to judge people, but whatever. Anyway, so there's this whole idea that the more fully we depend on someone, there's this paradox called of independence, where the more fully we can depend on someone or something else other than ourselves, the more independent we become. Because when independence is dependent on a lack of dependency, then that in itself is dependency masqueraded as militant independence. A truly independent person can be dependent on others because that dependency doesn't interfere with their own independence. So if my independence is at risk, if it becomes dependent on something else, that undermines my own independence. So paradoxically, independence is dependent on dependency, and one can't exist without two, because only one exists in relation to two. A only exists in relation to B. Without B, then A is null, and without B, then A is null. So individuation presupposes differentiation. So you need something else in order for one thing to exist on its own. That's why Tov Mashnayim in Echad, right? Then Shlomo Melech says, Ki im yupu ha-echad, yakim es chavera, because up only exists to down. But then Shlomo Melech says that ve'ilu ha-echad, she'yipo ve'ein she'ni la'kimo, that if one falls down, then he doesn't have somebody else to pick him up, meaning that if one is on its own, then there's nothing else to differentiate, there's nothing else to help it move up. So really, the way that we grow is through having something in relation to the other, A in relation to B. So Iyar is very much a month of getting out of our comfort zone and diving into this tension and wallowing in it and allowing for and accepting and appreciating the complexity without trying to reconcile things. And in itself, that is paradoxically conciliatory. So the mazel is the shore, which is the torahs, which is the bowl, and the bowls are very tough. Rashi, and one of the babas on Daf Kuf Dala, talks about this. I forgot which one of the babas, but you look it up. The shore is very assertive, and at the same time, it can be very fragile and volatile. It's the paradox of the two, which is the duality of ER, because it's the second month. There's also the two yods, which represent the duality, because there's two-ness. And in ER, we may feel the need to kind of be in control, because we struggle so much with the tension of the two, but we have to remember to embrace the two, to recognize our temperamentality and life's potential ephemerality, and subjugate this desire to protect ourselves from the perils of this tight balance of we're walking this very tight rope, and we yearn for the stability. But we can also recognize that what we're yearning for, instability, we'll get through just being stable with the instability. And Sfiras Omer is very much one way to do so, which we'll get into in a few minutes. We'll get into, I guess I'll give some background. So the names of the months of the, you know, the Chodashim that we have, they come from Akkadian roots. This is not Kfir. This is what the Gemara in Hashanah says in the Yerushalmi in the first parak. There's also Sikha by the Lubavitch Rebbe. I can't find it anywhere. I mentioned this a few months ago. I still haven't found it. Where he talks about how earlier, Milam Kedusha, you take the names of the months which come from the Akkadian roots. They're all Aramaic, but we've infused it with Kedusha. But anyways, Rav Shachter also in Simon Beis of Ikei Atzon talks about this. He says, like, you know, Zosat Har Losei Muchlepes, that is one of the Yogim Ikarim. How could it have been that Ezra, in the times of Ezra, they had new names for the months? So he says two things. Number one, the Daraisidic date in the Yonim remained the same. It's just the moniker as it's referred to as. And number two, the change was foretold to Moshe at Sinai, so it's Tarim Moshe at Sinai Ki'ilu. So that's why it was fine. But before an Ear was called, anybody know what Ear was called? In the Torah? Tanakh. In Tanakh, it's referred to as Ziv.
No, before, Ziv. By
Yisrusham. By Yisrusham, yeah, but also in Tanakh, it's referred to as Ziv. Ziv, there are super cars, I can show you. So Ziv is like effulgence. It's like brightness. And during Chodesh Iyar, there's this like, you know, the brightness intensifies, the sun intensifies, the sun comes out. And I realize that the sun, like that, reflects the Shiras HaKelim, it's a refraction of light, and the rays of light are refracted from the Ziv HaShchina. So in Iyar, the rays of light which shine forth on us and the radiance that reflects onto other objects represents that disharmony, that disunity, because it's all of these refracted lights. And at the same time, we enjoy the sun, so we wallow in that diffraction, we wallow in that disunity, in that disquietude, and we find harmony and enjoyment in the disharmony. So we're leaving room for harmony with this harmony, which in itself paradoxically leads to harmony, and we have to bask in that light of refraction and bask in that paradox. And then there's also the permutation of the month. Every single month has a different permutation of the Yodke Vavke, the Tzirif Hashem, and secreted within the Tzirif Hashem is the Pasuk of the month. So we'll get into the parts of, and then we'll get into the we don't have time for the parts of, and then we'll get into the Pasuk secreted within it. But also one more thing in terms of the Yodke Vavke. So the Arizal says, why are we not answering when we daven? That we don't know how to properly daven, and we don't know how to properly say the Yodke Vavke. And then he says the pasuk derived for this is the pasuk in Tehillim in Parak, I think in the 91st parak, maybe the 92nd. It says Asaveu ki yodashmi, that I will safeguard him because he knows my name. So we can't say Yodke Vavke, but the Rizal says that because we don't know how to be mitzarif the names properly in their month, we have to study the tzirif every single month, and then, you know, we'll have a much easier time having our prayers answered because we'll know how to properly funnel the permeating energy you've subsumed within the nature of the month, and you know, properly funnel our tefillos through the right medium. Yeah, that's why also Rabbi Yonish in the Ibishitz, he has the Yaris Midvash, so he has a parish on tefillah on it. It's very long, but the Ben Yoyada, luckily, he summarizes the entire thing at the end of Ma'id Katan. He just summarizes the entire thing very succinctly. So he says, on the Pasuk, Hashem Shavas Aitzitach V'Yagilsach, in the beginning of Shemun Asrei, he says, like Hashem Shavas Aitzitach, like I open mouth only so that I can praise Hashem. So when Asavik Yadashmi, when we know Hashem's name, we know how to properly funnel our tefillahs, we know how to properly articulate ourselves in order, and we know how to properly say Hashem's name, then we'll have a much better time having our tefillahs answered because they're coming from the right medium, they're coming from the right place. Also, anybody here daven Nesasfar? How many you're in Nesasfar, right? Presumably in the Sefer. So also, you'll look at the Musaf davening. It has the tzirif of every single month for the last bracha in the Musaf that you're supposed to have, like that kavana and the pasuk. You're supposed to have the kavana of the pasuk secreted within the tzirif we'll get into now. So next Rosh Chodesh, keep that in mind.
It's not Musaf.
Oh, it's in the Ashkenaz too?
They didn't put it in.
Oh, they didn't put it in, but you can look it up. It's based on the Arizal.
Yeah,
it's
here.
Yeah. I don't know what the Ashkenaz Siddur looks like, but yeah, it should be in there. So the tzirif of the month is Yod Kei Kei Vav. And secreted within this tzirif is the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Yishala Mishal Haskel Yado. Let the one who takes pride take pride in knowing. So Haskel is knowledge, and that relates, there's also a scent in every month. There's basically a 12-part structure. Really, I should really be able to give like a 1 hour. Like 1 hour is like, you know, how much time we really need to go through all between Yonim of the month, but we don't have that. But the sense of the month is Hirhor, which is thought, and it's thinking in a way of expansive awareness, which one we do through understanding each sphere through Sphiras HaOmer, recognize the unlimited potential in the multiplicity of energy inherent in every single day that we can access during year. And in addition, through recognizing the spheres, which all vary, which all seem disparate and separate, unrelated to yet to another, yet are all part of and integrated within a greater unity. That's what the Sefer Yetzirah says on the spheres. It says Esra Leitesha, Esra Leach Echas, sorry, that they're 10 and not 9, 9 and not 11. Which is obvious, but the whole point of this is it says in the very beginning of Sefer Yetzirah that you kind of have to glean into this, examine this. There's separation and within unity, and there's also unity by means of separation. So the devoted ears to get very comfortable with this seemingly uncomfortable notion that we'll never really be comfortable, and through that we'll find comfort. So we have to learn how to get comfortable. That's the devoted ear, and good chaydish, good luck. Yeah.
Go ahead.